Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello, I'm Em, and today I'll be speaking with our Research Communications Officer, Ed. We'll be taking a look into some of the Catalyst Programme studies that Breast Cancer Now is currently working on, and what they could mean for the future of breast cancer treatment. Ed, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
To start off with then, could you please give us just a brief overview of what the Catalyst Programme is about?
Yeah, sure. So we launched the Breast Cancer Now Catalyst Programme in 2016, and it was set up to speed up breast cancer research by bringing together the world's leading researchers and the world's leading pharmaceutical companies to pool resources and stop people dying from breast cancer. And it brings more hope for people affected by breast cancer by promoting the innovation and excellence in breast cancer research through collaboration in the UK as well as across Europe. And currently we're working with Pfizer to accelerate this progress. So Pfizer has committed $15 million, around £10 million, to the program and granted our researchers free access to some of their drugs to ensure that breast cancer research can keep happening and happen faster. Breast Cancer Now has had full freedom to use the funds to fund world-class research and people affected by breast cancer at the heart of this Catalyst program. The program aims to fund research that holds the greatest potential that benefits people affected by the disease, and patients are closely involved in the decision-making process. You know, one amazing part of this is Breast Cancer Now has been able to remain completely independent from Pfizer and from any future collaborators. So we've had complete control over the decision-making process of which projects we choose. And so far we funded 24 research projects, including 4 clinical trials. And all these projects aim to bring better treatment options for breast cancer patients. And we'll be awarding about £2 million worth of new Catalyst projects later this year, just to ensure that we keep the momentum up and make sure that the research doesn't stop at all.
That's amazing. Thank you. So the Catalyst project has lots of smaller studies within it. And I think first of all, we're going to talk a bit more about one of those studies, and that's the Royal Oak study, which focuses on lobular breast cancer.
Yes.
So could you just start by telling us what is lobular breast cancer, and why is it so important for Breast Cancer Now to focus on it through this Royal Oak study?
Yeah, so lobular breast cancer is a type of breast cancer that starts in the lobules, which are the milk-producing glands of the breast. And it accounts up to 15% of breast cancer cases. And lobular breast cancer can sometimes be a bit more difficult than other types of breast cancer to detect using ultrasound or mammogram, as it grows in like a different pattern. And this can mean it can sometimes, unfortunately, be found like later than other types of breast cancer. And currently there are no treatments that are specifically designed to target lobular breast cancer. But we think it may be more responsive to certain drugs because it has slightly different molecular makeup to other breast cancers.
Right. Okay. So with that in mind, then, could you take us through what the Rolo study's processes are and what it hopes to achieve?
Yeah. So in 2018, scientists led by Professor Chris Lord at the Breast Cancer Now Research Centre showed in the laboratory that a lung cancer drug, crizotinib, works very well against 90% of lobular breast cancer cells due to their molecular makeup. And after this, after these promising results, Professor Nick Turner and Dr. Alicia O'Keynes are now leading a UK-wide clinical trial called ROLO to test whether crizotinib could be an effective treatment for patients with secondary lobular breast cancer. And women taking part in the study will essentially have a biopsy of their cancer taken before they start, and then they will receive crizotinib in combination with the breast cancer drug fulvestrant. And the participants will also give blood samples throughout the study, and will also have the option of giving another biopsy if their cancer starts growing again. And these tests could essentially reveal changes taking place in the tumour that could be used to predict which patients will likely benefit from crizotinib. And, you know, this is a really exciting opportunity to test a treatment that's specifically for patients with lobular breast cancer, which would give, you know, women involved in the trial and future patients more time to live with their cancer under control, which is really, really important.
Yeah, so important. Like you say, if there's nothing already targeted towards lobular, then this is breaking new ground, and it would be incredible to see where that goes. Mm. So the next study that we want to talk about within the Catalyst program is on, am I going to get this right, palbociclib?
That's it, nailed it. Absolutely.
Yeah, perfect. Palbociclib.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Excellent. So as we know, because it's got a complicated name, it must be a drug. So what sort of drug is palbociclib, and how does it work?
So palbociclib is a targeted or biological therapy drug, which means it basically targets and interferes with the growth of cancer. And this particular one belongs to a group of drugs called CDK inhibitors. And these drugs block the action of CDK proteins that help cells to grow and divide, which then stops the cancer cells from growing and spreading around the body. And palbociclib is used to treat estrogen receptor positive breast cancer that is spread around the body. And in the UK, it's always given alongside a hormone therapy drug. But when breast cancer spreads, whilst it can be treated, it can't be cured, sadly. So, but it is possible to manage it using a combination of drugs. And some cancers don't respond as well to particular drugs than others. And sometimes we don't know why that is. So it's really important that research trying to understand this and figure out why.
Right.
So for some people with estrogen receptor positive breast cancer that is spread, recent research has shown that combining therapy with palbociclib can provide precious extra months before their disease worsens, which is so important for people with secondary breast cancer.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. I feel like you've sort of touched on this in what you've just said, but so what's this study setting out to do?
So the researcher working on this is Dr. Saskia Wiltling. She basically wants to develop a method that helps tell apart patients who would benefit from receiving palbociclib and those cancers which would not respond to the drug, to save them from these really quite nasty side effects that they can have. Mm. And her team essentially wants to test this new method to evaluate how cancers are responding to palbociclib more quickly, because it can be quite a long process to test this and assess how well someone's cancer is responding to the treatment. Because currently it takes around 3 months to see if palbociclib is working, which is
right.
A really long time.
Okay.
And researchers are basically, they're analysing blood samples donated by women taking part in the SONIA trial in the Netherlands, and which is essentially investigating whether it's better to give palbociclib alongside hormone therapy in the first or second line of treatment for secondary breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And they're analysing the levels of something called circulating tumour DNA, which is essentially fragments of cancer DNA found in the blood, which is donated by the patients. And at the end, they essentially want to understand why palbociclib doesn't work to treat some estrogen receptor positive cancers and why it does work for others. And they'll do this by looking at the changes in the DNA of the tumours and see if they can spot anything that explains why they respond differently to this drug.
Brilliant, thank you. I think the couple of things you've mentioned so far have been a really good insight into sometimes we wonder how new treatments are developed, but also I think one of the big frustrations for people is sometimes treatments don't work, and that's also such a huge area of focus that needs more understanding.
Mm,
so it's great to see that the Catalyst program is focusing on those areas. And another difficult area for some people is BRCA genes and how they can increase people's risk of breast cancer. Another project in the Catalyst program is looking at breast cancers with changes in BRCA genes and how they can become resistant to PARP inhibitors. So could you explain those two terms for us? First of all, what are cancers with changes in BRCA genes and what are PARP inhibitors?
Yeah, so there's two particular genes in the BRCA family that gets a lot of focus, and that is BRCA1 and BRCA2. And they are two genes that, if changed, can increase someone's risk of breast cancer. And cancer cells that have these changed BRCA genes are basically less able to repair their DNA if it becomes damaged. And what PARP inhibitors do is they are another type of targeted therapy similar to palbociclib. And what they do is they target a molecule called PARP. And they've been shown to work really well for cancers with changes in BRCA genes. And what they do is they block the PARP protein, which it has a normal function in the body, which basically helps cells repair their DNA if it becomes damaged. And if a cancer cell has a changed BRCA gene, they are less able to repair their DNA. And if then PARP protein is knocked out as well, they basically can't repair their DNA and they accumulate so much damage that they die.
Right. Okay. And like we said, this is obviously all the studies we're talking about here are incredibly important. But I think many people will probably be interested in BRCA studies because people will be aware that they already have changes to BRCA genes, even if they haven't had a diagnosis of breast cancer. So what do we hope will be the impact of this study?
The researcher working on this study is Professor Chris Lord of the Breast Cancer Now Toby Robbins Research Centre, which is located at the Institute of Cancer Research London. And he's looking at how breast cancers with changes in BRCA genes can become resistant to PARP inhibitors, which is something really important to focus on. Mm. And he basically wants to improve these treatments for people with this type of breast cancer. And he's essentially studying what happens in cancer cells by treating with a new and very effective PARP inhibitor called talazoparib. And the hope is that this will basically lead to a bigger picture of how these processes work, just so we can see how mutations in these cancer cells might cause PARP inhibitors to stop working. And you know, the main aim essentially is to understand why some breast cancers become resistant to PARP inhibitors so that doctors can make sure that they're giving them to people who would benefit from them most and know when to give another treatment alongside PARP inhibitors that will make them more effective. Basically, like a lot of these studies, the knowledge gathered through this research can help inform future clinical trials that will lead on to hopefully identify and improve treatments for people with breast cancer. You know, so it's really, really important work.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. It's amazing to see, like you just said, how this research can inform future clinical trials. So even in just one clinical trial, we can hopefully end up solving problems that may have appeared elsewhere. And this research is obviously shared and so it can contribute to other projects. And the last project that we're going to talk about today is on drug testing in general and how we can improve the efficiency of this process. So for a layperson like me and anyone else who's listening who's not familiar, could you tell us what the standard testing process looks like for breast cancer drugs and what sort of improvements does it need?
Absolutely, yeah. Essentially, this is quite a stunning figure, but about 95% of cancer drugs that enter the early stages of clinical trials are never approved for widespread use. And this is often because the drugs are not effective because the way we test them in preclinical stages doesn't truly represent what would happen in a person, or maybe they're tested on a wide range of breast cancers rather than focusing on one type that they might work best for. Mm. And often these experimental drugs are tested on tumours that have been implanted into animals such as mice. And whilst these tests are, you know, very important and produce really useful results, over time these tumours can actually become less similar to the disease in people. And this technique can also be costly and take a long time to produce results on how these drugs perform. So therefore, one issue that we need to address in research and drug development is we need to improve how these drugs are tested at early stages, and you know, just to make sure that these drugs are given the best potential when entering clinical trials, and hopefully these drugs can reach patients sooner and they can benefit from them better.
Yeah, of course. And again, I feel like you've just sort of summed that up there. But if you could expand a little bit on what the potential impact of this study could be.
Yeah, so this one's really, really interesting. Research has the potential to really help these drugs succeed in clinical trials. And one researcher who we're funding is Professor Katrin Pritchard, and her team has created a new alternative tumour system to test experimental breast cancer drugs on. And essentially it's made up of samples of real tumours donated by breast cancer patients. So the tumours are kept alive in the lab and retain additional parts such as blood vessels and immune cells, which is really important because that wouldn't necessarily be like around in a dish in the lab, but in the body, and when somebody's breast cancer is progressing, that it would have that environment around it. And so it's really important that we factor that into these clinical trials and when we test these drugs. And this approach essentially allows researchers to preserve the interactions between these different types of cells in the tumour, and they hope that these tumour systems will help more accurately predict how a drug will work in patients. And to test this, they're actually testing three different experimental drugs on these tumour models, and the aim is to see if they can tell which breast cancer type the drugs might work best for and how effective the drugs are, as well also if they're safe. And they will then use this knowledge to design clinical trials for these drugs, which is very different to how it happens now. And these tumour models could provide useful information on how, you know, different types of breast cancer will respond to the drug, and also help researchers decide which group of patients would be best suited to taking part in the clinical trials.
Brilliant. Yeah, everything you've just said is so fascinating. I mean, all of the studies together were fascinating and really reassuring, actually, and hopefully, you know, people listening can just have a slightly better insight into where our funding goes towards and to just a huge range of things that Breast Cancer Now is working on. So thank you so much for taking us through those. I hope it's been interesting for people that are listened, informative, and yeah, just helpful. It's certainly been helpful to me.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much for having me. You know, and I think it really shows that collaboration is so important, because the Catalyst project wouldn't be possible without collaboration with so many different people across so many different countries. So yeah, it really shows what you can do when you get loads of different parties involved.
You can find out more about our research by visiting breastcancernow.org/research. And thank you very much for joining us today, Ed.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services, and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.